Good afternoon, listeners. This is BBS Radio, and today we have an incredible being on the planet who I met about 7 years ago on the Gold Coast in Australia, and her name is Aluna Joy. Welcome, Aluna Joy, to BBS Radio today.
Hi, Mareva. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm really, really happy to have you today. And we've got actually online the call-in number. If there are listeners out there today that would like to ask Aluna Joy some numbers, we can do it through this number here. Okay, we won't be able to put you online, but you'll be able to call through later on. So first, Aluna, let's get into where and how you have been working so incredibly with the star beings. And you have been doing this for a long, long time, and I'd love you to be able to give a little introduction to the listeners about yourself. Thank you.
Oh, well, like a lot of us on the planet, it started when I was a really young age. I was aware that there was something else besides the family that I had grown up with, and I had managed to get outside. I think I was about 3. I had to reach up to get to the doorknob. And when I opened the doorknob, I got outside, and it was dawn, and the sun was just rising. I think that even there affected me the rest of my life, being interested in solar culture. But when I turned back and looked at the house, I realized that my family was somebody that was not on the planet, that was in the sky. And I didn't have any way of understanding that at the time, because I was like 2 or 3 years old. And I spent a lot of time as a child wandering around in nature, learning, and in ways that I couldn't describe, and then gave it up for a while. And it was 1987, and I decided to go to Mexico for the first time, and I had this calling to go to the Mayan sites, and it always interested me, but I didn't understand what it meant. And snuck in after dark and spent the night inside a little temple called Tulum on the coast just south of Cancun, back in the days when there was nothing down there. And it completely changed my life. And that's when I started paying attention to those intuitive hits and those messages I was getting, because I was just trying to be normal. A normal human being, and I can feel people laughing out there.
Maybe you can help some people out there that are actually opening up, Aluna, at the moment and are having these, like, sensations of messages or intuitive, and maybe give them some help on this.
Mm. Well, you listen to them. Because when I didn't listen to it, I went in an entirely different direction that was sort of against my destiny. And my destiny wasn't necessarily something that was socially acceptable, or there wasn't people out in the world giving me permission to do this or saying, wow, this is great, go ahead, be a weirdo, But I tried to be normal for quite some time, and it made me completely ill and threw me into a dark night of the soul. And I know that if I had listened way back when and really honored those feelings I had in myself, instead of listening to what the outer world expected of me and listened to my inner truth, I would have saved myself a whole lot of suffering.
So this is a big thing for a lot of people at the moment, that being awakened on the planet and going through this maybe consciousness awakening, so that they can listen to their gut feeling of something happening, so that they will also maybe understand that they have a soul path, like your soul path opened up at the age of 3. And then let's just fill in a bit of the color there, because there's a big gap from 3 and where you've been, and also these incredible journeys you do to the sacred sites.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do that because it's my spiritual payback to the spirits of those places. I receive so much when I'm there, and the first couple trips I took completely changed my life. I had instant downloads that at the time scared me because I didn't know what was happening. But it completely changed my outlook on life and redirected my perspective and my priorities. So when I was going through that, I thought, boy, everybody needs to feel this. Everybody needs to feel this inside of them. And one of the ways to do it is to go to an area or a place where ancient ones have been doing it for eons. So you go to these sacred sites, and I have an attraction to Central and South America, but any sacred site where ancient ones have traveled to help themselves awaken, there's an etheric record there that's built up. When you walk into it, there's a frequency there that actually affects you on a cellular level.
Oh, yeah, this is happening a lot now, Aluna. I've just been up to the Grand Canyon, and I understand what you're saying about. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people out there, maybe you could just tell us a bit about these, for instance, Peru, the sacred site of Peru, and how a download actually affects one.
Oh, downloads affect people in different ways, and you can have really mild downloads to really intense ones. And all this is linked to Mayan calendars, by the way. And the Mayas actually know this, that sacred sites and sacred areas are linked to certain day signs in certain calendars. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody knows which calendar that actually is. But if you go there on a day that happens to be your birthday, like let's say I'm 7 Kuok, so if I go to a site that is activated by that day sign, when I go there, the veils are thinner for me than other people. You get what I'm saying? So I can get a download. And then if it's in the same year, they say you can ascend in one day. I haven't hit that one yet.
Well, maybe it's coming.
So, yeah, I'm hoping, and I hope I can, leave a nice big trail for everyone else or follow someone else's trail that they left for me. But these downloads can be as just a simple little whisper inside your mind to full-on, full-body experience that can be somewhat frightening, actually. And when you get the big ones, and I've experienced that twice, and you really can't plan them, there's something that comes when you use your intuition and listen to that inner voice, and all of a sudden you feel like you have to be somewhere, you have to go somewhere, you have to do something, and you go, and next thing you know, your life has changed.
And isn't it interesting how the masters bring the people together to help you get there? And
yes,
that time frame, I'm at awe about this, because you go there on the equinoxes, and these are very special times.
Yeah.
When you go there. So all of this, what we call the galactic hierarchy, opens up. So maybe you'd like to just share with the listeners an experience so they can understand a bit more what can happen.
Well, on a planetary level, the equinox, the sun is balanced in four directions, and it leaves a sacred cross over the equator. In other words, the sun is equal in the northern and southern hemispheres and between earth and sky. So when you go to sacred sites, you're going in a sacred site that already has eons of years of etheric record from ancient ones doing the inner spiritual work. And then you go there on a day of balance, and it helps, it's less veils between you and the truth that's there. And the truth really isn't there in the site, it's in you. So what you do is, it's not like you're getting it from the site, but the site's activating you so you can access what's already inside of you.
Yeah, it's actually accessing your matrix, isn't that right? The matrix
sort of
that
like
you
opens
are.
The doors
yeah.
to the library.
That's right, of the codes that we have within us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. When you, I think you were going to maybe tell the listeners a little bit about an experience. I don't know whether it's going to be Peru, Mexico, or Guatemala, whichever you would like to, and maybe something about the people that come, because isn't it interesting when you get these groups that come together, usually there's something that happens within the group.
Yeah, most often. And you never know who it's going to be, and you don't know when it's going to happen. Like I said earlier, sacred sites are linked to certain day signs in the calendar, so you never really know which day when you go to a site if it's going to be turned on that day or not. If it's a day that it's turned on, people experience a lot of things. And you might go back the very next day and it'll be as flat as a pancake. It's very interesting. But those days that it's plugged in, downloads can feel like a freight train running through you, to full-on Kundalini activation. It can make you feel a little crazy, dizzy, spacey. I have to watch my groups really close because if they're really going out there, I want them to do that. I don't want them to stop it, but at the same time, I don't want them falling off a mountaintop or falling off the edge of a pyramid. So I watch them real close because I can tell when they're getting it. When you get home, it's when you notice it the most, though. You know, it's when you notice it the most. And you never know how the little experiences are going to happen. I remember one year I thought I was going to have a great experience in Machu Picchu. And, you know, and I had experiences in the Maya lands, and I decided that I was going to go to Machu Picchu, and I took this group, and I put them all to bed in their hotel rooms, and I snuck out afterwards, and I decided I was going to sneak into the site and spend all night. Because that's how I usually get some of my downloads, is by getting away from all the tourists, and nighttime, the sites react differently to you than they do during the daytime. So I snuck in, and I spent all night on top of this incredible view of Machu Picchu just laid out in front of me, and I froze my tush off. I had every piece of alpaca clothing, mittens, gloves, you name it, I had it on me. I couldn't move. I looked like a mummy, and I was still freezing to death. And I sat there all night, and I got absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then the next morning, as the sun's rising, I think, well, at least I can justify my coming in because I'm going to get these great sunrise photographs over Machu Picchu to add to my multimedia slideshows that I do. And just as about I was about to take this incredible picture, these two guys out of nowhere show up and start juggling. Now, this is a very bizarre thing to be carrying into a sacred site, is rolling bowling ball pins. I mean, big bowling ball pins. They're juggling right in front of me. And there's this whole huge site, and they decide to stand right between me and the view that I'm trying to shoot. So I understandably was quite frustrated, and I left the site, and I was tired all day kind of grumbling around. And a couple of years later, we went back, and we're sitting up at the top of this hill, pretty much where I was sitting that night. And some of the group was off to the side meditating, and we were talking about opening up dimensional doorways and going into the places where the masters went and where the Lemurians went after the fall of Lemuria. They went into the mountains there. That's why the Inca people call them Apus, sacred mountains or alive mountains.
There's supposed to be sacred doors there. Is that true?
Say what?
There's supposed to be some sacred doors.
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
They're all over the place. You can't see them with your eyes.
No, open. No, I realize that. They're in a different dimension, and those that have the keys can actually go in.
Exactly. Well, this is what we were doing. We were working toward finding that key.
Yeah.
And I'm up at the top, and I'm talking to some of the group, and another part of the group is way out of earshot with their legs over the edge of the hillside looking at the place where I think the door, one of the doorways anyway, is. And I'm telling this story about spending all night in Machu Picchu and not getting anything, you know, because it's a funny story, and everybody assumes that every place I go, I get these great visions. Well, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't. Or sometimes you don't recognize them when you get them. So here I am telling this story, and I'm telling them about the juggling guys, and one of the guys comes over scratching his head, and his name was Howard, and he tells these great stories. And we thought, oh, boy, here comes the story, you know, and we're all smiling. And he goes, I got to tell you something, but you can't laugh. And I go, okay. He goes, no, I mean it. You can't laugh. I got a message from the Lemurians how to get into the dimensional doorways. And I said, okay, we won't laugh. We're all sitting there waiting, holding our breath for this big answer because we've been waiting for this key. And he says, all you have to do is juggle. You get it.
Yeah.
Then I realized the guys in front of me weren't guys at all because it was hard to get in that site at night. And I was sitting there, and I didn't see anybody come in, and I didn't see him leave. I think the Star Elders appeared in front of me for a few moments to tease the daylights out of me, give me the keys to the inner city, and I just got mad and stormed out of the site. But
wow.
Here it is, 2 years, 3 years later, this guy who's never been to Machu Picchu, comes up and gives us the key right there. And we all just drop.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. And the juggling is about letting go. It's about not trying to get in. It's about letting go, letting yourself go, and just letting it happen. And the only times I've gotten through dimensional doorways is doing just that.
That's true.
Yeah.
I believe it. I know. I've seen it myself. And when we let go and go with the flow, everything falls into the place of the synchronicities and the doors open.
Yeah, you can't slip in without trying, because if you're trying, the universe says, oh, Luna Joy's trying, so we're going to give her more try. Because spirit works in present moment.
Yeah.
Spirit works right here, right now. So what am I doing? I'm trying. Well, that's all I'm going to get, is trying, until I change my mind. You know, and then when you let go, then you can resonate with that doorway. And there's a lot of doorways all over the Mayans, all over Machu Picchu, and all over Peru. And some of them are right off the edges of cliffs, so they're very interesting.
I'm interested in some of these areas that they say also go down into the sea. Have you heard about that?
Doorways that go into the sea?
Yeah.
In Lake Titicaca, there's doorways in the lake.
Okay.
And the locals there, they see ships of light coming in and out of the lake all the time. And I've been going for 11 years every year, and I've yet to see a ship, but I've certainly felt some energy that I know that it was probably apparent that it was going to happen. But I haven't seen one. But I can, if you take everybody up, and these people don't know anything, okay? They've never been to Peru. They've never been to Lake Titicaca. You take them up to the top of this island called Tequile, and it's pretty apparent where the doorway is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ask them, where's the doorway? You know, I'm not going to tell them, because it's more fun to see if they can feel it for themselves. And almost always they point in the right direction. You can even close their eyes and spin them around and tell them, okay, where's the doorway? And you'll feel it. You'll know where it is. And it's between Tequile Island and the Bolivian Andes on the other side of the lake. And it's not too far from that island.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of people come back from trips with a Lunar Joy absolutely, absolutely stacked and blown because of what you're actually going through. I mean, you seem to be taking these people to, I believe, recall something within them and to open something up. Has anyone told you that?
That they recall things?
Yeah, you actually take them there, and then you're with the Star Elders, actually open something up within the matrix of all these people.
Yeah, that I guess that's what we do.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I'm just going down and being myself.
Yeah.
An elder friend of mine, a Native American elder friend of mine, called me it's a mouthful too, geopsychopathical healer. In other words, I know where to take people to wake them up.
Yeah.
And I just sit them there, and I don't give them the answers. I ask a lot of questions.
Well, I think the listeners out there now, we need to get a bit of information about you, your website, your email, because I'm sure there's a lot of them out there that would love to come on a trip to Peru, Mexico, or Guatemala and have this incredible experience.
Mm. And I would love to have them. And I know that the ones that do manage to register with us, they're always chosen not by me, but by something else. And I watch the universe shift and shuffle the deck every single trip. You know, some people will drop out all of a sudden and new people will come in. And I just watch the shuffle. Right now we're going to the Peru shuffle.
And
we lost a couple. We got 2 spaces left in Peru.
Oh.
But I'm real easy to find. It's just www.alunajoy.com. You can get to everything else from there.
Right.
Yeah.
Aluna, would you like to talk to us a bit about what's happening, the shift in consciousness that we are having at the moment?
That's the hardest thing to talk about. Because we really don't know what it is.
But don't we feel it?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's feeling it, and
exactly.
They're questioning it, and everybody knows they're searching for something. Everyone I talk to lately, they're all asking the same question. I'm feeling there must be something else. What is it?
But don't we create it all?
Don't we create it all?
Yeah.
I think so.
Exactly.
So when Jesus said, "What you can do what I did and greater things," I think all the masters in the universe are just sitting around waiting, holding their breath for us to come up with what those greater things are.
Yeah.
You know, what are those greater things? I mean, I can imagine healing people. I can imagine walking on water because it's been done. It's in the collective consciousness.
Yep.
But imagining a greater thing, you know, than raising the dead and feeding the droves out of one basket of food. I mean, come on, think about it.
Well, I love what you said about peace. And for me, that's a very big thing. Tell the listeners that you've got a beautiful newsletter that comes out, Center of the Sun. Mm-hmm. Some of you might like to actually get in and have this beautiful newsletter sent to you. And I've been having this sent for a number of years and found that Aluna's beautiful messages and that seem to be so in line with what's happening. So maybe you can talk to them about this Center of the Sun newsletter.
I started using the format of a newsletter, especially e-news, because information changes so quickly that by the time you get it published in a magazine, it's out of date already. So I do this free newsletter, and you just go to www.lunajoy.com. There's a link there. You sign up. It's real easy. You go on my newsletter list, and I send it out in a bulk mail. The messages are what's going on in the moment. And it's one of my gifts, which sometimes feels like a curse, is being able to feel what's going on with the collective on the planet. And I usually write about that. Sometimes I write about other things or things that happened in the past, but most of the time I'm writing about what's going on right now. And it's important to get that out pretty much as soon as I write it. So by the time I've written it, it's out on my website and out through the newsletter list within probably 24 to 48 hours. Because things are changing so fast now, and there's just no time to publish.
I believe this is also, Luna, since we had this Mayan day that was, when was that? Was that in February? I'm trying to think when it was. Was it February or March when we had that certain Mayan day? Or was that in May? There's a certain day that we passed, and things seem to have speeded up. Incredible. In the Mayan calendar I'm talking about.
Oh. Okay, I'm looking up on my sheets in May.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Is it 27th? I'm not sure which day it was.
27th of May. I'm looking that up.
I'm not sure. There's a special day that seemed to have opened a new portal, and I believe that this has happened, and we are having huge changes. I would like to let you talk about this beautiful iron blessing water that you've been doing, and I used as well in a workshop, and took and found it to be an incredible consciousness shift with the people who I used it with. And I'd love you to talk about where you've created these from and how it was given to you, and the listeners to know that they can also go online and purchase it.
All right. I started making essences many years ago, and I was making essences in sacred sites, and they're made a specific way and protected and anchored in a certain way. But it was after our trip. I think it was a trip to Peru. I came home rather tired. I felt empty. Didn't quite know what was going on. I knew something big had shifted. In fact, people had noticed something big had shifted in me, but I really didn't know what it was. And I came home, and I'm just doing my, daily routine, and I'm sitting at my computer doing email and the usual stuff. And I got downloaded with this message about I am blessing water. Now, a lot of us are already aware of Dr. Emoto's work in understanding that when we bless water, we actually change the molecular structure of that water, and we can actually create a harmonious pattern in that water when there was disharmony, just with a simple thought. And I've always been cooking on that idea, how wonderful that is, because our bodies are 70% water.
Yeah.
So what can we do about this? Well, I spent 12 years on Mount Shasta and a lot of time studying the I Am teachings, or the studies around the I Am Presence and Saint Germain and the Ascended Masters of the Great White Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that morning, what I would call the I Am Presence came in, and it was intense. And I got decrees to put into the water so people could change the molecular structure of their body to break the patterns that keep them in their limitations. And they gave it to me in a way that it was all downloaded within like 20 minutes. And 17 decrees and 7 archangels. And then they explained how to make it. And it was completely different than I was used to. And everything fell into place pretty quickly. And we thought these essences don't rescue you. Like a lot of essences, they rescue you, like Bach Rescue Remedy will take away a trauma or help you adapt to it. I Am Blessing Waters pretty much bring them up. So they're really not for sissies.
No.
This is what Archangel Michael says. He's got a great sense of humor. He says they're not for sissies, and they just aren't. If you're really ready to do the work, what they do is just bring everything completely to the surface so you can let it go for the last time.
Yeah, I must admit, folks, I used these in a workshop, and I can say that this is absolutely true. There was two people there that I saw shift in that 8 hours of that workshop. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. after having this. And they are what I call on a higher consciousness magnitude that you've made them.
Yeah, and it's, I don't think we really know how powerful they are yet. They've only been on the market, available, only not on the market, but just from our website. I'm not allowed to sell them in stores. I'm not allowed to sell them at conferences. They have to go from my little cubby where they're packed away safely, wrapped and sealed, right to your doorstep. No one else should be touching your bottle. So we're still getting feedback, and it's all been really powerful, but it's very cathartic, and we spray our house, we give it to our pets, we give it to the birds outside, we water our plants with it, we take baths in it, and I'll tell you, if you've got any leftover issues, if you're ready to do the final cleaning of the closet, this is the stuff to help. And it what it does is it takes the I Am Presence decrees and puts them in your body, whereas Emoto says if you charge a glass of water with love, it changes the molecular structure of the water. But if you have a block to love, it's not going to get into your body because you have a block to it. So you have to make it personal. And the I Am Presence said you need to make it personal by using the words I Am. And, of course, I Am relates to, you know, the unity of all life and things. But the I Am, you know, I Am peace and harmony. I Am unconditional love. Those things, it takes it in, and it actually goes into the molecular structure of your cells and actually reprograms them.
Isn't that great, folks? I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that would like to be able to move through any issues and would like to go online and have a look at this. She's got these all laid out, and they come in an incredible, beautifully packed little bag, and I'm telling you, they do work. Yeah. So I'd like all of you that are sitting out there thinking, well, we have issues now that we aren't or we can't deal with. Well, they are there. The I Am Blessing Waters are there to move through and help you actually change. Could you just give us maybe a few of the names that you've got? Because I know there's some archangels you've got too.
Oh, Archangel Michael, my favorite, of course. Mm-hmm. And all seven archangels.
Yeah.
I Am Abundance. I Am Peace and Harmony. We're sending bottles of I Am Peace and Harmony and Unconditional Love free to any light workers in Lebanon and Israel right now. Having trouble getting into Lebanon, but bottles have arrived in Israel. And
oh, that's
they're
beautiful.
Spreading them around and giving them to the children that are traumatized.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I Am the Open Door. I am Clear Communion. With angels, spirits, guides, and masters of light, I am Christ consciousness, I am compassion. And all these decrees came to me in a matter of moments. And my partner Raphael was sitting here thinking, oh no, another project, because I was tired and I wanted time off. And it just didn't go away. So that by that afternoon, we had all the decrees written down, a distributor that would sell us bottles with no markings on it, they have to be perfectly clear. We found a distributor that would sell us little silk bags to put them in to protect them and how to do them, and we had them out in 20 days.
Well, I'm saying to everyone out there, go on to the site, folks, and if you've got someone that you may know in Lebanon or Israel, and that,
please send us the address.
That's right.
And we will be happy to send them bottles.
This is
believing in them that much.
That's it. They are, and I do too, because I've used them. They are very powerful, and they've been put there for an incredible reason. And that reason is that the Lunar Joy has been given this information to help all of these people out there. And, you know, it's incredible, because when we look at the Ascended Masters and what is happening at the moment and how all of this has been happening in the Middle East, I know a lot of people have been putting out peace and love on the planet, so that we don't need to keep hitting our heads against brick walls there, you know, in Israel and Palestine and all these other countries. We need to learn. We've been doing this for the last 20 years. So, hey, guys, we need some of this I Am Blessing Water.
Mm-hmm. And since the uprising in the Middle East, and because of the intensity, we put everything on sale. So we chopped the price way down, mainly because we need to get them out there, and we have the faith that we will have the abundance to continue to fill orders at that price.
Exactly.
But everything is reduced way down, and we're hoping that you buy for your friends and your family and send to places where there's tension.
Yeah.
Where there's these healing. Because when we say we need to be healed on something, what the universe says, oh, this person needs to be healed, so they it continues. The universe gives you exactly what you want. So if that's what you feel about yourself, you continue to get that. Like if I said, I'm not abundant, or I'm having trouble paying my bills, or, I don't have my partner in my life yet. If you keep saying those things and keep struggling to get those, but the universe just keeps giving you lack and struggle.
Yeah. So
what the I Am Blessing Water does is turns it around, and basically you pull your energy out of the negative and put it in the positive, and you actually retrain your cells of your body all the way down to the littlest, tiniest parts of the cells, and reprogram them so you can actually pull in the positive. And it's been really interesting around here, living near and around all these bottles all the time. The first few weeks, I'll tell you, wasn't necessarily terribly comfortable. And now it's just like whatever we touch, whatever we decide we want to create, it's happening. And it's just been amazing.
Isn't that lovely? This is good to document so that, and also people who have used it, get referrals back to tell you the amazing stories that are happening. And that's really, I think, amazing in a lot of different places where our people are touching people in one way or another. But the I Am Blessing Waters, definitely, folks, go online and have a look and order some up and send them out to some friends you might have in Lebanon or in Israel. You've had a huge journey, Aluna Joy, and I was just wondering, are you still going to be staying over there in Sedona, or are you going to be moving?
Anchor.
Yeah.
I'm pretty anchored here for home base.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay. Let's go on to something a bit different, I think, in talking about this and saying something about the equinox, as we talked about before, but maybe you would like to talk about one of the countries that you like either Peru, Mexico, or Guatemala. And I think you said to me yesterday you have Guatemala coming up.
Yeah, and so in March, of course.
In March, and so that they can have an idea of what actually happens on this trip, so that those that are looking forward maybe of choosing a place to go to and liking to take this trip with a Lunar Joy can understand what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, as always, I always encourage people to go to a sacred area on equinox at sunrise and do ceremony on the 20th or the 21st, depending on where it is equinox in your time zone. Depending on what part of the planet you're on. But we go to Mexico or Guatemala. This year we'll be going to Guatemala and into Tikal. Tikal is completely aligned with sunrise of equinox. In other words, it rises directly behind and above the Temple of the Jaguar, which is the tallest pyramid there, on equinox, lining up that whole and activating that whole site during that day. And it happens a couple days before and a couple days after. And same with Chichen Itza and some other sites people are aware of. But I particularly like Guatemala for its peace and serenity. You're off the electrical grid, not too many tourists. Usually you can get a lot of private time there. It's a good place to go. A lot of times Mayas show up. This last year, a group of Mayas, Cachiquel Maya from Antigua, showed up and invited us to join their fire ceremony. So not only do we have our ceremonies, but we also were invited to a full-on traditional Mayan fire ceremony too. It was a very beautiful day. But it's hard to say what we do. We schedule the hotels and the buses, and everything after that is left up to spirit. So when we walk into a site, we listen and see, okay, what's going on today? What do we need to do today? And I just listen to that. Like last year when we were in the main plaza, we had been there quite some time and I just didn't want to leave, and it's a huge site and people are getting a little anxious wanting to move on, and I just didn't want to move on and I couldn't figure out why. But I had some inklings that Mayas were going to show up, but I'd forgotten about that, and I just kept stalling. And so I was finding ways to stall because we weren't supposed to leave the plaza yet. And it's a big area. And so finally I got permission to do a little ceremony in a place where they allow the Mayas to do their ceremony, just a stall. And as soon as I started pulling things out of my bag to do this, the Mayas walked in. And if I had not listened to that prodding inside to stay, when everybody else was ready to go, we would have missed that. So this is when I talk about listening to those little inner callings in there. It's really important. Like for instance, one day I just didn't want to go to town. My refrigerator's empty, you know. It's perpetually empty because I don't like going to the grocery store much. And I needed to go, and I needed to go, and I put it off, and I was all ready to go and ready to walk out the door, and I just couldn't make myself go. Well, an airplane had to land on the highway where I was going to have to be, and I missed that. Nobody was hurt either. It was interesting. Nobody got hurt, but they had to land the plane, emergency plane landing, right on our highway. And so, you know, that little inner calling, you know, you never know why you don't go somewhere or you decide you need to go somewhere when you need to, but you have to listen to that. And I hope that that's what we learn when we're in sacred sites more than anything, is learn to listen to that inner calling. And when you go on equinoxes, or solstices, which are powerful if you're in the north for June and the south for December, where the sun's the strongest. It's a powerful time. And I, of course, I believe every day is sacred on this planet, every day. Every day it's good to greet the sun in the morning and say goodnight as it ends, and take time to recognize that greater cycle that is above and beyond what we see in our day-to-day life.
Yes, that's true. Coming from a Huna connection myself, I do believe that these are moments when we can go within and go within and reflect and be in that sacred moment. I'm interested a bit around the atmosphere that is created, because it's like when you go in and this all happens, this huge matrix of these different people and yourself, mm-hmm. and then you listen and everything happens. Maybe you can recount to the listeners out there something funny that happened with some people that were expecting something more or didn't understand that, you know, what happens and they really did get a message.
Well, it's different with each person. Sometimes you don't recognize the messages until you get home. It's usually when you walk back into something that's familiar again, like your home or you know, where you live, that you notice how much you've shifted. The messages don't necessarily come into the mind either. Once in a while we get messages with the mind, and we've had people on trips. Last year we had a couple of very powerful channels who brought in amazing things. But most of the time it's a subtle inner shift. And so what we do is we just go in with a sense of play, with no expectations, and that's one of the things I talk about the first day is, you know, leave your expectations back in your room and let's just go in and see what happens. Because you never know how amazing it's going to be. Now, one funny story was one of our group members call him Doc because he's a homeopath, and very serious guy too. And he went in into Tikal after dinner to catch the sunset. And the rest of us were kind of tired, so we decided we didn't want to go back in. And it's a huge site, so it's a long walk. And when the sun set, a cloud formed, and there was a perfect smiley face. You know the little smiley face?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the smile and the two eyes?
Mm-hmm. He's
got a picture of this in the clouds. And the last day of the trip, he was about to get in the van to hop a ride to the airport, and a balloon rolled down the street right to him with a smiley face on it. And I think this was Spirit trying to tell him to lighten up, you know, and not take things quite so seriously. And he left beaming. I never saw him smile so big. So you don't know. It could be simple things like that, and it could be very powerful shamanic experiences. It goes from the simple to the extreme. And it depends on how, where you're at. If you've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, you're awakening. Sometimes you get things in big jolts. If you've been working a long time, you get fine-tuned. And it all depends. And what I like most about my group, because it's becoming more the people in the group for me than the sites anymore, is they come from all over. Our trip to Peru, we've got people on every landmass in the world coming, with the exception of Antarctica. People from Cyprus, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, US, of course, Norway, Iceland even. It's going to be amazing. And because we come together from such diverse cultures, it's amazing that within a few minutes, we don't see the differences at all. And I know that when we walk into a site, and I think this is more powerful than anything, is when we walk into a site in that unified field of unconditional love and no boundaries between countries or land masses or anything, and walk in a site with such harmony and love, and our groups really do emanate a lot of harmony and love, I know that we set something into the collective that can change the whole planet. Because the most, these people that are attracted to these trips don't see the differences between countries or cultures or races or skin color or language or educational level. We're all human beings, and we go with love, and it's very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. And then we try to give service back in Peru. We help an orphanage. There's a link on the top page of my website. If you're interested and you have abundance and you want to give to something where 100% of your dollars will go to help children in Peru, you got to go to Casa de Milagros, because she's doing amazing work down there.
Talk a bit about this, because I've seen this on your website too.
Yeah, I love this place, because most orphanages strip away the children's culture from them. This one doesn't. Most orphanages put you up for adoption and you're adopted back out. This one doesn't. These kids have security till they're full grown. They have Quechua moms and dad nannies to keep them involved with their culture. They learn their culture, they dress their culture, they learn their local music. They keep that alive. And then they have organic gardens. They don't just eat the regular food. And Peruvian food for the locals is pretty poor diet. It's pretty poor. And they have loads of gardens, acres and acres of gardens. And they feed the local kids that come by for lunch. And when they grow up, they're starting new businesses now where these kids will have jobs.
And they keep the Mayan tradition. That's important.
Well, no, the Inca tradition.
The Inca tradition.
The Inca tradition, yeah.
That's good.
Their traditions, even
yeah.
though the people that are running the home are Americans,
yeah.
They understand the value of them maintaining their culture by the same instance of being, but also being able to be in this 3D materialistic world where they can actually make a living and support their families.
Oh, that's very important.
Yeah. So they have a retreat center now that some of the kids are starting to work at because they've grown up. I've been going to the home for 11 years now.
Well, so folks, if you want to have a look online and see this site, it's on the Luna Joy site. And I'm sure that anything in any way, abundance that you could help would be really helpful.
They're always needing help there. But she's a manifestor master too. She manages to get what she needs.
Isn't that great?
I mean, this is one way we give back.
We're yeah.
always giving back somehow. We always find ways to give back to the people of the culture that we're visiting because we go with respect. So we find ways in that will really, really help. And it's not just handing money to a child because that's not a good idea because it continues the poverty. But finding ways of empowering them so when they grow up, they don't have to be poor again. And I think there's more than enough to go around.
Definitely.
I don't believe in lack at all.
Yeah.
So the trick is finding ways of leaving your tourist dollars behind in a way that helps support the local people and not the corporations.
Yeah.
So we're pretty good at doing that. We do it the best we can. And every year I find new places, and I always let the groups know where is a good place to spend their money. And people are very generous. We bring bags and bags of stuff down. Last year, Heirloom Seed Company donated a whole duffel bag full of seeds that we took down for the gardens. And, you know, it's another way, and this is another way we open our hearts. And I know if I put this on the flyer, no one comes. You know, if you put Machu Picchu on the front, everybody signs up. But I'll tell you, at the end of the trip, their day to Casa de Milagros was probably the most heart-opening experience for them, because they were able to give in a place that was really going to make a difference.
Yes, I'm sure there would be lots of smiles on faces afterwards when they saw the happiness on those children's faces.
Oh, yeah. We
faces.
Continue crying. I cry every year.
Yeah. Definitely.
I never go there without Kleenex in my pocket.
Yeah. this is a, you know, there's so many other ways now that people need to realize that we can open up and share, and that's what we're here for as a humanity, is to share with others, and this is beautiful.
Help where we can.
Yeah.
Any place we can. And, you know, I share my vegetable garden's doing really well this year, so I'm sharing vegetables with the neighbors. Well, that's something I can do.
Jack's not getting in there, is he?
What?
Jack's not getting in the vegetable garden. The dog.
The dog? Oh, Chico.
Chico.
Chico, no, he's good. He stays away. He's looking at me now. He's sitting right by my feet.
Oh, say hello. He's so beautiful. Chico.
He stays out of the garden. In fact, he chases the lizards out of the garden for us. No, he knows not to step on things.
Isn't it lovely?
Yeah, you know, that's one way to help. You know, help your neighbors. You know, I can't help people in Israel and Lebanon by sending bottles of the I'm Blessing water. But some people that are joining us on the trip are from Cyprus, and they're working at the relief centers in Cyprus right now. So, you know, it's helping where you can. You know, if I lived in the South, I'd be helping, you know, Katrina victims. You know, just help where you can. We can't worry about the places we can't help, but do what we can where we can. And what I think that does is adds to the collective of that brotherly, sisterly kind of love, where pretty soon it's so contagious that everybody's helping everybody.
That's right. The collective consciousness changes.
Yeah.
And
what
this is
what you do nice for someone right next door affects the collective consciousness.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And this is important at the moment. It's very important.
That's
and
why when you worry about peace, not having peace on the planet, which, you know, when can you imagine a time on this planet where there wasn't, I mean, where there was peace all the way, it's a very turbulent world, a very dualistic world. But if you live in peace every day, and that adds to that collective, instead of fighting the war and trying to stop war, which is another form of war, just live in peace and find other ways to create peace, or places where other people can go to have peace. When we go to Peru, it's and the Maya lands, it's incredibly peaceful in the sight. And you come out with such a deeper sense of that you can live that in even a deeper level. And we know it affects the collective.
And could you maybe give us, the listeners out there, something about some of the shamans that you work with? Because I know you do work with some local people.
Yeah, you never know. With Willaru in Peru, he was raised a shaman, but basically now he teaches directly from the masters, the Andean masters.
Mm-hmm.
So there's very little shamanism. It's more self-mastery,
yeah.
I would say, learning how to become a master.
Yeah.
But they always show up. In Peru, we have a little friend that's named Lorenzo, and he's a taro. There's not too many of those people left. They live way up on the mountains up above Cusco. And he always finds us, and he follows us down into the valley, and he does a little tarot ceremony for us, a fire ceremony, and blesses us all. And he's the sweetest man you could possibly imagine. Just the sweetest heart in the world, and we're starting to meet the family. And I always take pictures of him, and I bring down copies the next year for him, and he's teaching us from the traditions. And he's just a beautiful being. But we don't really plan it too much, because you never know what's going to turn up. You know, every year it's something different. So we just leave the doors open. We know where we're going to sleep at night and where we're going to eat and what day we have to be on the train. And that's kind of it. And everything else, we just kind of let spirit guide us where it goes. And I send a few guys out ahead of us to iron out wrinkles. So we have pretty easy, flawless trips. which is not an easy thing to do in Peru or in Guatemala.
Yeah.
And I just send out Archangel Michael ahead, and everybody out there can do that in their own personal life, is you just send the masters out ahead of you and say, please smooth out the bumps for me, and ask them to kind of smooth things out so when you get there, it's smooth and easy. So the Peru can be having an uprising and maybe can be derailing trains one day, and the next day we're on the train going to Machu Picchu. Everybody else has rerouted their trips because they didn't think they were going to get there, and we have the whole place to ourselves.
Isn't that great?
I know. It just happens over and over again. I just sit back and go, it's happening again.
Yeah.
We've had that place to ourselves so many times. Fires happened one year, and they said, no, we need to get helicopters to get in. I go, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. The next day, the trains were running. We got in. Everybody rerouted their trips, and we pretty much had the place to ourselves.
Yeah.
So you just have to trust that inner feeling, and doubt always follows truth. And this is something, if everybody just listened to this, if they tattooed this backwards on their forehead, so they had to read it every morning when they washed their face in the morning, doubt always follows truth. So when you get a truth, the next thing you get after that is something where you doubt yourself. You get a great realization, and then that little voice on your shoulder says, who do you think you are? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you go back to that original truth and follow that, that's where you really find the flow, where magic happens and synchronicities are at every turn. If you don't listen to that and you listen to that doubt, then you're just listening to societal programming and the things that have happened to you in the past, and you lose your flow. So if you feel stuck, go back to where you had an original thought that felt very inspiring to you, and then go with it.
So you must.
When I was first starting out with this, I was so ill when I had gone to Tulum, and I came out and I went through my dark night. I was such a mess, and I had so many issues, and I hadn't worked on myself, and this was in the early 80s. But I used to dream about the fact what it would be really wonderful would be to help other people access those energies and those sights like I've had. And I was nobody, so who am I to do that? But I just kept putting it in there, saying this is something I'd really want to do. And I just kept taking steps toward it, and I'm doing it. My trips book solid, and we have this fascinating, amazing group. We all learn from each other. And it's all because I didn't give up on that original feeling. I didn't listen to the doubts.
That's so true in everyday life, though. There's so many people out there that need to be listening to this, Luna.
Exactly. People get messages from spirit all the time, and then they doubt themselves. They're afraid someone won't like it. They're afraid they'll be judged for it. They're afraid that they're on an ego trip. And maybe some people out there might be. But, you know, if you don't listen to that inner calling, you miss the flow. You miss the flow. And we all can look back and say, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. Things would have been better. You know, hindsight's always great for that. But if you put yourself out in the future and say, well, I'd be disappointed in myself if I don't do this now. And the answer is yes, you do it. Now, it may not make logical sense. Spirit's not necessarily practical. And it's not necessarily socially acceptable even. Like, for instance, me going into fights after dark, you know, I had to sneak past guards and climb over a back wall to get in, but yet I got my download.
You like doing things like I do when I went to Egypt. I know all about that, Luna.
I figured, as long as I go with respect, and I'm not harming anything.
That's right, and we do. We're going with respect, but the thing is, we also, that there is, I feel a lot of us have this inner calling. And when we go on these trips and that we get to these places and we just let it happen, it happens.
Yeah, and that's what I mean about letting go.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it without letting go. So we act like kids and walk into sites and just say, and we just kind of wander around, and I just start paying attention to what people are saying. And we have little chats here and there, and next thing you know, something starts connecting in these chats. Little connective threads between different conversations between the people in the group. And then we start gleaning from that what that means. And it gets really interesting. But you just, it's just about letting it flow through you. Mm-hmm. You know, what am I feeling right now? Some people walk into Machu Picchu and they break down in tears and they feel so depressed they can hardly take a step. Well, why do you feel depressed? What are you feeling? And some people are afraid to admit it. They think they should be elated. So it's like every feeling is okay. What are you feeling? And because that's where the spirit speaks to you best, is through your feeling, because it doesn't matter what language you speak to them. It doesn't matter what educational level you have. You know, it doesn't matter what tradition you come from. A feeling is a feeling. So feelings are the best way to listen to these places. And the truth is anchored in feelings. So I'm always asking people, what do you feel? Well, nothing. I will go, how are you feeling about you? Well, I'm feeling this and this and this and this. And I go, well, what does that mean? And we start asking questions about what does this mean? Why is this and this going on? And we get some very interesting results from that.
So let's just go to another level and say a lunar joy. Are you going to be doing this for the rest of your life? Always. I think I would like to.
You know, if I do, I know that if I do my job really well, I'll work myself right out of a job and I'll get to retire.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, the point is not people being dependent on sacred sight or essences or anything, but rising above it so they don't need anything anymore. They have the light within ignited. In fact, there's an article on my site calling that, Lighting the Fire of God Within.
Lighting the fire with God within?
It's a very important message. So I'm hoping I work myself out of a job. Right now, I'm pretty busy.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping I work myself out of a job. And as long as Spirit calls me to do it, I'm doing it. And if Spirit asks me to stop and say you're done with that, I'll be done with that and I'll do something else.
Well, thank you very much, Alina Joy, for joining us here on BBS Radio today.
Oh, you're welcome. And thanks for everyone listening. And I send blessings and love.
Thank you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.